By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah. Viewers of Mother Channel, welcome to Rise and Shine, the early morning program broadcast from our UK studios in Bradford. And like every day is a beautiful day. Yes, the temperature goes up. Yes, the temperature goes down. Yes, it's sometimes raining. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's windy. Sometimes whatever the weather is. Alhamdulillah, whatever the weather is, it is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sometimes we have to put a scarf on to keep ourselves warm. But whatever it is all a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we need to realize that every day is a blessing. We take every day as a blessing. Because on the Day of Judgment, we will be questioned. We will be questioned about our life. How did we spend our life? It doesn't matter how short it is, how long it is, how did we spend our life? And one of the things that we need to learn is being thankful. Thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us another day. Another day in which, inshallah, we can perform good deeds. Another day, inshallah, we can refrain from committing sins and please our Rabb and attain a better place in paradise. Viewers of Madri Channel, you know that when watching Madri Channel, whenever any program begins, any mubalik, they give you a blessing reciting through the park upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this program is no different. And today, the blessing that I'm going to give you is that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is reported to have said, that whoever recites salawat upon me 100 times, Allah Azza wa Jal shall write freedom from hypocrisy and fire between his eyes, and he will keep such a person with the martyrs on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Only 100 times a day you recite through the Park upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, Allah will keep you free. It will be written between your eyes, free from hypocrisy and fire. And this will be written between your eyes. And this person, he will be risen with the martyrs on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. So please, as I said it many, many times before, please make a habit of reciting salawat upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make it part of your daily routine. Put some time aside and do this. I know maybe the people that watch this regularly, watch this program regularly, saying, you know, he says this every day. I'm going to continue to say it every day. Because until the day that, inshallah, Durood-e Pak is recited in every home, in every house, in every corner, in every street, in every town, around the world, inshallah, we're going to encourage people to recite salawat upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like I said, viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and the next package we have is the blessing, the opportunity, the privilege to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran with the translation from Kanzul Iman. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
Alif Lam. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْحَكِيمِ
یہ حکمت والی کتاب کی آیتیں ہیں
هُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ
ہدایت اور رحمت ہے نیکوں کے لیے
الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ
وہ جو نماز قائم رکھیں اور زکاة دیں اور آخرت پر یقین لائیں
أُولَئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ
وہی اپنے رب کی ہدایت پر ہیں اور انہی کا کام بنا
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ
اور کچھ لوگ کھیل کی بات خریدتے ہیں کہ اللہ کی راہ سے بہکا دیں بے سمجھے اور اسے ہنسی بنا لیں
أولئك لهم عذاب مهين
ان کے لیے ذلت کا عذاب ہے.
وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا وَلَّا مُسْتَكْبِرًا كَأَن لَّمْ يَسْمَعْهَا كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرًا
اور جب اس پر ہماری آیتیں پڑھی جائیں تو تکبر کرتا ہوا پھرے جیسے انہیں سنائی نہیں, جیسے ان کے کانوں میں ٹینٹ یعنی روئی ہے.
فبشره بعذاب أليم
تو اسے دردناک عذاب کا مژدہ دو.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات النعيم
بے شک جو ایمان لائے اور اچھے کام کیے ان کے لیے چین کے باغ ہیں.
خالدین فیہا وعد اللہ حقا وہو العزیز الحکیم
ہمیشہ ان میں رہیں گے, اللہ کا وعدہ ہے سچا اور وہی عزت و حکمت والا ہے.
خلق السماوات بغیر عمد ترونها وألقى في الأرض رواسي أن تميد بكم وبث فيها من كل دابة
اس نے آسمان بنائے بے ایسے ستونوں کے جو تمہیں نظر آئیں اور زمین میں ڈالے لنگر کہ تمہیں لے کر نہ کانپے اور اس میں ہر قسم کے جانور پھیلائے.
وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَنبَتْنَا فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ زَوْجٍ كَرِيمٍ
اور ہم نے آسمان سے پانی اتارا تو زمین میں ہر نفیس جوڑا اگایا.
هذا خلق الله فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه
یہ تو اللہ کا بنایا ہوا ہے, مجھے وہ دکھاؤ جو اس کے سوا اوروں نے بنایا.
بل الظالمون في ضلال مبين
بلکہ ظالم کھلی گمراہی میں ہیں.
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ viewers of the channel, we had the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran, and those of you that watch Arise and Shine on a daily basis know that we're going through the Quran surah by surah, and today we started Surah Al-Luqman, and these were the first verses of this particular surah. And I would encourage you all to try and read the Quran with translation and better still with commentary on a daily basis. Read it with your family so that as a family we can understand what our Creator wants from us, what our Creator advises us, what our Creator tells us not to do, and all of these things and much, much more, inshallah, as a result by reading the Quran on a daily basis. Set aside some time. I'm not asking you to read a whole para, as you saw the, what was it, 5 minutes? Within 5 minutes, we covered so many verses of the Holy Quran with the translation. If you only cover, as Amir Lissunath said in his Pious Deeds booklet, just 3 verses of the Holy Quran on a daily basis with translation and commentary, then inshallah, you'll see a change in yourself, a change in your family. If you sit down as a family, a change in your household as well, inshallah. If we continue this light of the Quran, if we continue to spread the light of the Quran from person to person, house to house, street to street, town to town, then inshallah, we'll see a difference within our communities, within our countries, within the whole world, inshallah, azza wa jal. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and today we're going to talk about a specific saying of a companion, a specific hadith, in fact, of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was related by a companion. Sayyidina Saad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala, he is one of those fortunate companions that he is amongst the 10 companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself guaranteed paradise during his lifetime. That amongst the companions, those 10s, Ashara Mubashara, he was amongst those 10 righteous companions. And it said that he was, you know, he had unshakable faith. He was a very brave, extremely brave person. And he was a very, very pious person as well. And he spent his time away from the pleasures of the world as well. And he would worship Allah Azza wa Jal in abundance. Now one day he was tending with his animals, and his son, Umar bin Sa'ad, arrived and said to him, "Oh beloved father, you are here tending your animals, your camels and goats, when the people are discussing the issues of the Khilafat. People are discussing the issues of the Khilafat, and you are here tending these animals, tending these camels, tending these goats." Hearing this, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala lovingly struck his hand against the chest of his son, Allahu Akbar. And he said to his son, "Listen to this, be quiet, be quiet. I have heard the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam say, Allah indeed loves a servant who is righteous, independent, and hidden." Righteous, independent, and hidden. Righteous could be classed as having that taqwa inside you. Righteous, independent, and hidden. And these three qualities, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we're going to discuss on today's Rise and Shine program. But as you know, at this time during the day, yes, approximately this time during the day, I'm just looking at my clock. At this time during the day, we have our daily kalam. So let's go to the kalam of the day, and inshallah, when we come back, we'll discuss this particular hadith of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Huzur sa koi intizam ho jaye salam ke liye hazir gulam ho jaye salam ke liye hazir sirf dekh lo ik baar subh taiba ko main sirf dekh lo ik subh taiba ko bala se phir meri duniya mein shaam ho jaye bala se phir sham ho jaye tajalliyat se bhar lo main apna ka
کبھی جون کی گلی میں قیام ہو جائے کبھی جون کی گلی میں
حضور آپ جو سن لے تو بات بن جائے، حضور آپ جو سن لے تو بات بن جائے، حضور آپ جو کہہ دیں تو کام ہو جائے، حضور آپ جو کہہ دیں تو کام ہو جائے، اور حضور آپ جو چاہے تو کچھ نہیں مشکل، حضور آپ جو چاہے تو کچھ نہیں مشکل، سمٹ کے پاس لائے چند گام ہو جائے، سمٹ کے پاس لائے چند گام ہو جائے، اور مزہ تو جب ہے فرشتے یہ قبر میں تو جب ہے فرشتے یہ قبر میں کہہ دیں سبھی حمد حت خیر نام ہو جائے، سبھی حمد حت خیر انام ہو جائے، حضور ایسا کوئی انتظام ہو جائے، سلام کے لیے حاضر غلام ہو جائے۔
صلوا اہل الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ viewers, I'm watching, I hope that you enjoyed the kalam as much as we did here in the studio. That requesting in the court of the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, that put something in place, Ya Rasulullah. Put the resources there, put the ability there, enable us to come and visit you in the blessed city of Medina. And you know, when it comes to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, any masjid, it is like your home in a sense. That when people come to your home, there are three types of people. And I've said this before. Number one is that person that you don't want them to come to your house. You never invite them. You never invite them. Now, they may occasionally come to your house by mistake, but you're not really happy that they come there, and you don't really give them such a warm welcome when they come there as well. There are other people that you wish to invite or you let come to your house, but you don't really want them to stay there a long time either. You'll give them the tea, you'll give them the biscuits, and then you'll kind of try and wrap up the conversation and finish it as soon as possible. The tea and biscuits will be served ASAP as well. And then there's the third type of guest. And the third type of guest is that guest that when he comes, you want them to stay. You want them to stay as long as possible. So you put the tea there, you put the biscuits there. And then when they finish them, you say, oh, we've got some cake. Oh, we've got some rice, we've got some food. Oh, it's time for eating now. And you'll do anything. You'll do anything you can to try and convince that person to stay there as long as possible. You make them comfortable. You give them a nice cushion. You give them a cold drink. You'll give them a warm drink. You'll give them the snacks. You'll give them anything. This is your house. But what about the house of Allah Azza wa Jal? What kind of guest are we? Are we that kind of guest that Allah Azza wa Jal never calls us to his house? Are we that kind of guest that when Allah Azza wa Jal calls us to his house, that within a short space of time, our mind wanders and we want to get out as soon as possible? Yeah, and we'll, if we go there to read on a read on a Muslim, out. You know, the Imam Sahib's not even finished the dua and we're at the gate and we're in the akaza and we've gone. Are we that kind of guest that I'll spend time in the masjid, we'll do nafli taqaf in the masjid, we love being in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so unless we become that type of person that Allah wants us to come to his house, then if we are not going to the masjid, if we've not been able to perform the umrah, if we've not been able to go to the blessed city of Medina, then maybe it's us. Maybe there's something wrong with us. I've got my money, I've got my passport, I can get a visa, I can get all these things. What is it with me? There's something wrong with me that I am not being allowed to make this sacred journey. So we pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ya Allah, if there's anything that we are doing wrong, Ya Allah, forgive us and enable all the Muslims around the world to make the sacred journey to the blessed lands as often as possible. Not just once, not just twice, but as many times as possible. You're watching Arise and Shine, and earlier on we quoted a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Allah indeed loves a person who is righteous, independent and hidden. From this hadith we find out this righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is having this taqwa inside you, this piety inside you. And this teaches us that if we have these three qualities inside us, then insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will love us. Allah will love us if we have these three qualities inside us. Inshallah, we're going to talk about these three qualities. The first quality, this righteousness, the taqwa that we need to have, this piety that we need to have in our hearts, in ourselves. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Imran, verse 76, Allah indeed likes the pious. Allah indeed likes the pious. Views of the channel. Taqwa is the essence of servitude and obedience towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Rahmatullah Tarihi, he has a highly intellectual point to this. And he said that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned this quality of taqwa in the Holy Quran, highlighting that the Quran itself is guidance for the people of taqwa. The Quran itself is guidance for the people of taqwa. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 2, guidance for those who fear Allah. Guidance for those who fear Allah. And in another verse, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 185, it is a guidance for the people. It is a guidance for the people. And if we join these two verses together, we can reach a conclusion that those who are pious, they adopt taqwa, and they have the right, listen to this, they have the right to label themselves as humans. In essence, whoever does not take on taqwa does not even have the right to call themselves human beings. And just to explain that, for example, you know, a bus is traveling from Makkah to Medina with 72 passengers. Yeah. If somebody was to say that the driver is taking 72 travelers to Medina, this is correct. If somebody else was to say that the driver is taking the entire bus from Makkah to Medina, then this is also correct. Both these statements have the same meaning, that there are 72 travelers in the bus and the driver is taking them and they're going to Makkah, from Makkah to Medina. Similarly, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in one verse that the Quran is a guidance for all of mankind. In another verse, he says the Quran is guidance for the people of taqwa, meaning if you join these verses together, we learn that every person must become a person of taqwa, and only those who have taqwa are rightful of even calling themselves truly human beings. Quite scary, isn't it? Allahu Akbar. Do we have that taqwa inside us? Do we have that piety inside us? Now, obviously, there's different levels of it. The different levels of iman inside us, but we need to have that. We need to, again, like we've been talking this month about the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our taqwa is also something, our piety is also something that needs to be continually developed, continually maintained, continually serviced, continually looked after to try and increase the taqwa that we have inside us. And it's not hard, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, you know, but attaining paradise isn't easy either. But we need to try and develop that inside ourselves. And the same way taqwa is the root of servitude to obeying Allah Azza wa Jal, it is also the root of goodness and performing good deeds. If you have this taqwa inside you, this piety inside you, this is also the root of performing good deeds as well. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 189, "And it is not a virtue at all that you enter your houses by breaking the back wall. Yes, virtue is a piety. Virtue is a piety." It is stated with regards to this particular verse, because like I said, you know, when you read the verses of the Holy Quran, for a person like me, a lay person like me, it is very hard to understand the meaning of that verse. We need to understand, you know, the scholars will understand when that verse was revealed, why that verse was revealed, in what context that verse was revealed, and then we can understand it. For example, I have to say to you that, "And it is not a virtue at all that you enter houses by breaking the back wall." How would we understand that? And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, yes, virtue is in piety. In Tafsir Siratul Jann, and this is why we say we need to read the Tafsirs, it states with regards to this, "In times of ignorance, upon wearing the ihram of Hajj, people become habitual of breaking down the back wall of the homes to enter them. If they needed to return to the homes for a necessity, and they considered this as an act worthy of reward." The above mentioned verse was revealed in response to this action of theirs, and Allah says to them, "It is not a good deed for you to enter your homes from the back, rather come towards the true good deed of taqwa." And we come to know that the truly virtuous, pious and righteous person is the one who has taqwa, having taqwa. So again, from this we're saying that, you know, these things that you think, you know, in that time people used to break the back walls of the houses down and enter them, and that was considered a good deed, a deed of reward. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, no, there's no reward in that. You need to have this taqwa inside you, this piety inside you, and that is rewardable. And again, like I said earlier, unless we have the tafsirs in front of us, unless we sit with the scholars, how can we possibly understand them verses? I cannot understand them. We need to sit down with the scholars. And we've said it many, many times before, that we get these shaitanic whispers that say, "Oh, I reckon this is what it means. I reckon this is what it means. I think it means this. I think it means that." You know, the scholars that have read the books that have been written by our pious predecessors and have read books that are from 1,000 years old, 1,200 years old, 800 year old books and studied them for many, 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 many years. You know, like our muftis of Darul Ifta that have been studying for 15, 20, 25 years. How can I possibly say, yes, I know what it is, you know, without consulting these people of knowledge? So do not have this shaitanic whisper and make your own interpretation of ayats of the Quran, making your own interpretation of hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make sure that you consult with the scholars. You know, if you come across an ayat like that, if you come across an ayat like that and you go to a scholar, what does this mean? I don't know what it means. And they will explain it to you, inshallah. And again, inshallah, your knowledge will increase. But coming back to taqwa. Taqwa has a certain principles that they need to follow. Number one, only those who fear Allah, only those who fear Allah and have taqwa in their hearts will offer salah punctually. If you have that fear of Allah, if you have that taqwa in your heart, then inshaAllah azawajal, you will offer your salah punctually. As there are many people who offer salah at their own leisure, even missing it entirely. Look at how many people come to the masjid to offer salah, but via backbiting, slander, disrespecting the sanctity of masjid or speaking about worldly issues inside it, they instead pile a huge burden of sins upon their shoulder. So again, it's very important that when you come to the masjid, you don't just come to the masjid to read your salah, you come to the masjid to make sure that you stay there free from sins by sitting in the masjid and backbiting and slandering and gossiping and sitting there telling stories to each other and wasting that time and accumulating the sins that we've just committed. So when we go to the masjid, we need to have that taqwa inside us, that piety inside us, that we are in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm going to read my salah, I'm going to read my Quran, I'm going to read my wazaif, and if I'm going to speak, I'm going to speak good. I'm going to refrain, I'm going to stay away from these bad habits. In the same way, only those people who have taqwa can truly fast. As many people resort to trivial time wasting in the state of fasting, while others even do not refrain from sinning. During that, because fasting is something that, you know, when I'm performing my salah, you can see me. You can actually, it's a physical act. But if I was to say that I am fasting, how would you know whether I am or I'm not? I'm not, by the way, because I'm drinking a cup of tea. But if in front of you, I had no food, I wasn't drinking, I wasn't eating, then how would you know whether I was fasting or not? You wouldn't. So it's one of those ibadat, one of those worships of Allah that you do in secret, effectively. And so it is between you and your Rabb. And so if you are going to perform that good deed of fasting and you don't have taqwa inside you, because this is the one deed, one of the few deeds that you have that is only between you and your Rabb. And so if whilst you are fasting, you are still sinning, you know, when there's only you, you and Allah Azza wa Jal, and in that moment you're still sinning, then the reason is that you don't have that taqwa inside you. Only your Creator knows what you're doing right now. And if only your Creator knows that you are fasting right now, then only your Creator knows that you are sinning right now as well. You know, in this dunya, we can sin and people don't know about it. But when I pray, people know. When I read the Quran, people can see. When I go on Umrah, people can see that I'm going there. When I'm fasting, how do people know? This pious deed, this rewardable act is between you and your Creator. But in the same way, your deeds, your sins are also visible to your Creator. If this, you need to have this mindset to understand what I'm trying to say. Maybe I'm not explaining this properly, viewers of the channel. That if your fast is something that only your Creator knows, and you know that only my Creator knows, then your sins are such that your Creator knows as well. If you perform a good deed and you know that only my Creator is aware of this, there is no worldly benefit, there is no ostentation, there is no showing off whatsoever, only my Creator is aware of this, then you need to have that mindset that my Creator is also aware of my sins as well. And that is why we said earlier that only a person that has taqwa in his heart, that has that iman inside him, that piety inside him, he is the only one that can fast. He is the only one that can fast. Because he understands that this connection, only those who have taqwa in their heart can perform the hajj. Otherwise, there are many who are stuck in taking selfies and they perform tawaf. You know, those people that have taqwa in their heart, then they're the people that can perform true hajj. You know, I remember when I was blessed with the opportunity to perform hajj. And when we went, the brother that was going with me, he said, get a simple phone. Don't get a camera phone. And I said, why? He said, when you go there, don't take any pictures. Don't take any pictures whatsoever. And I said, okay. And he said, because the pictures of hajj will remain in your heart forever. And I didn't. I think some brothers took a few pictures and they sent me copies afterwards. But I never took any pictures there from what I can remember. I'm thinking now, maybe I used a phone and took a couple of pictures, maybe. But the pictures of Hajj are in my heart. And what happens nowadays, a lot of people, they go there and they spend time taking the selfies in front of the Kaaba, in front of the Roza Rasul, in front of Jannat al-Baqi, in front of these. You know, and you're wasting that time. You know, I'm not going to say it's haram to do these things, but that time is a time that you have been blessed with. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with that. So rather than concentrating on your social media account, rather than concentrating on your selfies and these sort of things, concentrate on the reason why you're there. Because you might never ever get another opportunity to be there. Every single moment of the time that you get there should be used to please your Rabb. Yes, you need to eat. Yes, you need to sleep. Yes, you need to go to the washroom. Yes, you need to go and perform these things. But the rest of the time should not be wasted. And what happens is we waste our time going from takeaway to takeaway, restaurant to restaurant, shopping mall to shopping mall, you know, and we even miss our salah. Even there, yes, we're performing the Hajj, we miss the Fard Salah. This happens there. And again, you think to yourself, what have you achieved? You know, and you hear about these unfortunate people that they go there and they're not fortunate enough, even though they've got there, they're not fortunate enough to perform the Hajj. You know, I remember a couple of years ago hearing a story and I didn't believe it. I genuinely did not believe this story until I asked a few people that a person had gone there and the tour group that he was on, you know, before the Hajj, he started to complain that you promised we'd have this food, you promised we'd have this food, you're only giving us this food, and a row erupted. And it got to the extent where this person that was going on Hajj, he requested the money back from the tour operator and he got on the next plane and came back. And you think to yourself that you got so close to performing the Hajj, but Allah Azza wa Jal did not give you the tawfiq. Allahu Akbar, how scary is that? That you think, you know, I'm on the plane now, inshallah, you know, I'm going to go and perform the Hajj soon. Inshallah, I'll be in Mina, inshallah, I'll be in Muzdalifah, inshallah, I'll be in Arafat, inshallah, I'll be doing the tawaf, inshallah, I'll be doing the sa'i, inshallah, I'll be doing my qurbani, inshallah, I'll be getting my hair cut, all of these things. But it's only through the will of Allah Azza wa Jal that this will happen. And having that taqwa inside us to perform the Hajj properly. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that those of us that have performed the Hajj have performed it in such a way that Allah accepts it. Because just performing the Hajj is not enough. Just performing the Umrah is not enough. Just fasting during the month of Ramadan is not enough. Just reading the Quran is not enough. The question is has Allah Azza wa Jal accepted it? And one of the criteria of Allah Azza wa Jal accepting it or not is our piety. Did Allah Azza wa Jal accept my fast during the month of Ramadan? The pious people of the past, that when the month of Ramadan would go, for 6 months they would raise their hands, Ya Allah, please accept whatever good deeds we did during the month of Ramadan. What do? Allah's accepted them. Move on. We don't even think that has Allah Azza wa Jal accepted our good deeds? Has Allah Azza wa Jal accepted your fast? Has Allah Azza wa Jal accepted your Ramadan? Has Allah Azza wa Jal accepted your Taraweeh, your reading of the Quran, your fasting during the month of Ramadan, your giving zakat, your giving sadqah, you're building that masjid, you're building that well, that building that hand pump, helping the people that are poor, helping the people that are flood victims. All of these are rewardable acts, obligatory and non-obligatory. Has Allah Azza wa Jal accepted that Umrah? Has Allah Azza wa Jal accepted that Hajj? These are the questions that we need to ask. And so our sincerity needs to be there, Ya Allah, if I have done any good deed, then please, Ya Allah, accept it. You know, people say, oh, pass on all my good deeds. What good deeds? How do you know they've been accepted? So we should always do dua to Allah, Ya Allah. If I have done any good deeds, then pass them on. And Ya Allah, please accept whatever deeds I have performed. And Ya Allah, if I've made any mistakes, then Allah Azza wa Jal, give me the tawfiq to rectify me. But Ya Allah, please accept what little ibadat I have done. And we should humble ourselves in front of the Prophet of Allah, in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. That when we are seeking forgiveness in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, that we should say, Ya Allah, I don't have any good deeds to present to you. If I have them, please accept them. And whatever deeds I have performed, Ya Allah, please accept them. Please reward them. But I don't have any, so please, Ya Allah, forgive me. You know, and we say, Ya Allah, for the sake of all the Hajj I performed, for the sake of all the Umrah I performed, for the sake of all the good deeds I've done, Ya Allah, accept this. How do we know whether Allah has accepted this? So having this taqwa inside us, this piety inside us, is something that we need to understand. Islam, our deen, is not just a physical thing. a physical thing, meaning that I, you know, say something with my lips and I become a Muslim. Islam is not something, a physical thing where I perform certain actions and I've read my namaz 5 times a day. Islam is not a physical thing where I take money in my pocket and give it and say that that is my zakat. Islam is not a physical thing where I just fast during the month of Ramadan. Islam is not a physical thing where I just go perform the Hajj. All of these things, unless the heart is connected, unless you have that taqwa inside you, unless you have that piety inside you, then even you speaking the shahada, doing fasting during the month of Ramadan, praying, performing the Hajj, how do you know whether it's going to be accepted if there's no connection between the physical attributes and your taqwa, your heart, your piety? So we need that inside ourselves. And that needs to be developed and that needs to be questioned. You need to question yourself that if I am going on the Umrah, why am I going? Am I going so that I will have X number of social media likes? Am I going so that people will say, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, yeah, please give us some zamzam, please do this for us, please can you get a tasbih for us? Is this why we're doing it? You know, this ostentation is something that battles with our taqwa. It battles with our taqwa. And one of the three qualities that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, we're going to talk about later on, is being hidden away from people. You know, your good deeds are hidden. We're told that when you give something with the right hand, make sure that the left hand doesn't know. Now, what does that mean? It means that, you know, if the left hand doesn't even know what the right hand's doing, then how can your neighbors, how can your colleagues, how can other people? They won't know. So the meaning is, don't let people know about your good deeds. But nowadays we announce it. You know, on social media, I'm flying, I'm landing, I'm here, I'm there, I'm here, I'm there. Why are you telling people? If you have good intentions in telling people that you can encourage people to go there, then all well and good. But again, if our niyyah is to show off to people, to have that ostentation inside ourselves, then there's a question mark on our taqwa and our good deeds. Now, I'm not trying to single out anybody here. All I'm trying to say to you is that we need to have this taqwa inside us, that whatever a deed we perform, whatever good deed we perform, we do it only and purely for our Creator, for the Rabb. And inshallah, if we do that, then inshallah, our deeds inshallah will be accepted. Inshallah, we'll be rewarded accordingly. And inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, you know, we'll be able to, inshallah, please our Rabb, and our Book of Deeds will benefit us on that day, inshallah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. We're going to go to a reminder of the day, inshallah. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk a little bit more about taqwa before we get onto the two other qualities that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Wealth is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but only when we use it to obey Allah. Otherwise, there are many people in the dunya who have wealth to last 10 generations, but they don't use it in accordance to Sharia. They don't use it in acts that please Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They waste it. They spend it on haram. They are arrogant because of it. They fall into all sorts of trials and tribulations because of wealth. We know in a hadith that every ummah has a fitna, a trial, and the trial of this ummah is maal, is wealth. But the person who is given the ability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to utilize that wealth properly in the way of Allah, in righteous actions and causes, that person is praiseworthy. That person is worthy of envy. And he will not only receive the benefits of that in the dunya, but in the akhirah as well. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says, a pious person who had wealth and he spent wealth, on the Day of Judgment, that very wealth will testify to the iman, the taqwa, and the generosity of such a person. Subhanallah, this is what we want. We don't want to limit that wealth to worldly luxuries, fulfilling worldly desires. No, we want to gain the blessings of that wealth in the akhirah. And your wealth will testify for your iman, your taqwa, your generosity, if you used it properly in the dunya.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers, I'm on the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. The early morning program broadcast from our UK studios. And today we're talking about a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he mentioned these three qualities. And the first quality that he mentioned was taqwa, piety. And we mentioned before the break some of the qualities of taqwa as well. It is narrated that Sayyidina Ibrahim Taymi, rahmatullah ta'ala, once he experienced an amazing incident regarding the importance of taqwa. And he said, I would visit the graveyard in a great amount to keep death in mind. Now, before I go on, this again is a quality of our pious predecessors, that they would go to the graveyard on a regular basis. And in going there, obviously they would see the graves, they would do dua for the people in the graves. But at the same time, it reminds us of our ultimate destination. And so as Muslims, we need to make that habit. What happens is we only go to the graveyards if there is someone that we love that is buried there. And we should make a habit, we should change that. Go to the graveyards, reflect. You should look at that and think to yourself that, you know, these graves are there. What is the person doing right now? You know, is he still committing sins? And maybe, just maybe, and there is a possibility that one of them graves could be mine. So we need to contemplate and think about death. And this is what the pious predecessors used to do. He says that, Sayyidina Ibrahim Taymi, he said that I would visit the graveyard in a great amount in order to keep death in mind. One night, he said, I find myself becoming sleepy. And ultimately, I fell asleep within the graveyard itself. He said, I began to see a dream in which an open grave lay before me with a person inside it. A voice then said, take this chain, put it in his mouth, and cast it through his body. Hearing this, the person inside the grave exclaimed, O Allah, did I not recite the Quran? Did I not perform the Hajj of your honorable house? The person began to recall each of his deeds until he received this answer. You conducted these deeds in front of people. Whilst you were alone, you instead declared war against me through your acts of disobedience. You performed your Hajj. You read your Quran in front of people. But whilst you were alone, you instead declared war against me through your acts of disobedience. So being pious, being righteous, and the pious Sufis of the past, that they said that Allah Azza wa Jalla is aware of your heart. What is in your heart? How are we when we are alone? How are we in the seclusion of our homes when nobody's there, nobody's listening, nobody's watching? How are we when the door's closed and nobody can hear us? How are we when the lights are switched off and nobody can see us? How are we when we go to a different place, a different city, a different town, and nobody knows us? Allah hears, Allah sees, Allah knows. And I remember reading something many, many years ago about taqwa. And he said that if you were to get a plate, and in this plate, you were to put all of your needs and wants that you have in your heart, all of the things that you want to do, all of the things that you want to do in your life, and you were to put them in that plate, and that plate was put in the middle of a marketplace, would you be ashamed of what is in your plate? And I read that many, many years ago. Would you be ashamed of what is in your plate? If that you took out everything in your heart that I want to do this, I want this, I want this, I want this. I'd like to do this, I'd like to have this, I'd like to do this. And you put them all in a plate. And the plate was put in the middle of the marketplace for everybody to see. Would you cover the plate, hide what is in the plate, or would you be able to leave the plate there and have nothing to fear? Now, if our plate is such that we would want it covered, that we don't want the people to see what is on our plate, we don't want the people to see what we want and we need and what we want to have in our lives, then think to yourself that you can put a hand, you can cover that plate in front of the people, but in front of your Rabb, you can't do that. In front of your Creator, that plate is there. It is open, it is visible. He can see everything. He can know everything. He is aware of everything. You know, a beautiful sticker that Dawat Islami made that I think should be in every household, possibly every car, every room of the house. Allah is watching you. Just to remind you. Just to remind you that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you. Allah is watching you. And if you have this mindset that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla, you develop that taqwa inside you. That taqwa inside you will develop. And here we hear in that saying that a person was being punished in the grave, and he said, did I not read the Quran? Did I not go to your house? Did I not perform the Hajj? Did I not do these things, Ya Allah? and a voice will be heard that you did these. You did these things in front of people. You did these to show off. But in private, when you were on your lawn, when you were alone, you waged a war against me in your disobedience to me. How are we obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal? Do we just read the Quran in front of people? Do we not read it at home? Do we just pray in front of people? Do we not pray it at home? Do we all adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives when we're in front of people, but when we're in private, we're completely different people? Ask yourself, how are you when you're on your own? Like I said, fasting, it's just you and your Rabb. When you are on your own, in your home, on your own, in your car, on your own, traveling, on your own, at work, on your own, how are you? Or if you go to a different place where people don't know you, you know, you see these people that they go to different cities, different countries, in fact, to commit all sorts of sins. Because they don't want to commit them sins at home because people will know them here. People are aware of what they're doing there. The news will get around that this person's a sinner. The news will get around the community, oh, this person does this, he drinks alcohol, he does this, or whatever it is. And he'll go to a different town, a different country, in fact, in some cases, to perform the same sins because he doesn't want people to know. Does Allah not know? If you don't have this feeling inside you, this fear inside you, this thought inside you, that Allah is aware, that we don't have the taqwa inside us. We don't have the haya inside us. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you don't have haya, do what you want. And that's what happens. If you're not aware of your creator, or you don't even think about the fact that your creator is watching you, your creator is aware of you. We're even told that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is aware of what we're doing. If we do not take that into consideration, when we're performing them acts that we are doing, when we are doing those things, when we're committing all of those sins, like we said at the beginning, if you don't have that inside you, how can we even call ourselves a human being? That we don't have that inside us, where we have that taqwa inside us, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching us. So we need to develop that inside us, and we need to have that fear inside us, that on the day of judgment, you will be questioned. You will be questioned about every single thing that you have done. You can hide it from me. I can hide it from you. You can hide it from your family. I can hide it from my friends. You can hide it from your colleagues. I can hide it from my workers that I work with. We can do this. In this dunya, nobody will be aware. In this dunya, nobody will be aware of my shortcomings. Maybe. If Allah wills, Allah can hide all of my shortcomings in this dunya. Allah can elevate me to a respectable place in this dunya. Allah can give me respect in this dunya. Allah can hide all my sins. But that doesn't mean to say that just because my sins have not been exposed, just because people aren't aware of my shortcomings, just people are aware not of the sins that I committed, do you think that just because people are not aware of it, it doesn't mean to say it's not been recorded? You know, nowadays we have these CCTV cameras that record your actions for 60 days, 90 days. Allah Azza wa Jal has a system that records everything in our lives. Everything. Every single thing that we've done. I lift my finger, it's recorded. I put my finger down, it's recorded. Every single thing, it's recorded, it's there. So if all of these things are recorded, then all of our actions are recorded, the good and the bad. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, through the mercy of Allah, Azza wa Jal, will be rewarded for the good. But what about the bad? What about those bad deeds that we need to have the taqwa inside us to think to ourselves that these actions that are performed, How am I going to justify? You can't justify them. And what happens is again, we try to justify our, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that, it's because of this, it's because of that. You can justify it to me again. You can convince me that you're right. But it's not me that needs convincing. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one that needs to be convinced. In the famous book of spirituality by Shaykh Qatani, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he says that your share of the world is a portion according to the level of trials you face. Your share of the hereafter is a portion according to your level of taqwa. In this dunya, if you want to move up the ladder, so to speak, if you want to achieve something in this world, you want to be successful in this world, then you struggle, you strive, you face the trials of this world, and according to the trials that you face in this world, the struggle that you'll move up that ladder. But that is the dunya. But if you want to move up the supposed ladder, if you want to call it, in the hereafter, then it's your taqwa. It's your taqwa that'll achieve your success in the hereafter. So that is something that we need to be aware of. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, in Surah Hud, verse number 49. Indeed, for the pious is a good ending. Allahu Akbar. Such a small ayat. Indeed, for the pious is a good ending. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. But the definition of piety, the definition of being pious, is so vast. In another, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and this has been especially kept ready for the pious. And we come to learn from this that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created Jannah for the people of taqwa. The more a taqwa a person has, the higher the rank will be in Jannah and the more bounties they will receive. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. Hajjatul Islam, Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, explains the excellences of taqwa. He says that the people of taqwa are commended by Allah. He blesses them with protection from their enemies. They receive unique help from Allah. Due to the blessings of the taqwa, He also grants them halal rizq in the world. Just stopping there before I go on. And I've said this before, that protection from the enemies, help from Allah, halal rizq in this world. All of these things we all want in our life. We want protection from our enemies. We want help from Allah. We want a halal rizq. And so why are we not getting it? Again, I keep on saying to you that every morning, get up, go to the bathroom, look in the mirror, and that person that you see, he's the problem. I don't have that taqwa inside me, so why have I not got protection from my enemies? Why is Allah Azza wa Jalla not happening? Why can I not? I try, I cannot get a halal income. Why? Because I don't have that taqwa inside me. The blessings of taqwa lead to the correct rectification of deeds, forgiveness of sins, and acceptance of all good deeds. If you have that taqwa inside you, you try and ensure that you perform your good deeds properly. If you have that taqwa inside you, you try and see forgiveness from the sins that you committed. If you have that taqwa inside you, then you, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, will try and stay away from performing those sins. If you have that taqwa inside you. The people of taqwa are saved from the terrors of the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Can we even understand the terrors of the hereafter? I've mentioned it before. I read it recently that a person said that if all of the problems of the world, the difficulty that they are facing, if that was to come into one person, the pain that he would feel, the suffering that he would be feeling, would be less than the smallest punishment in the hereafter. Less than the smallest punishment in the hellfire. Can we even imagine? Can we even contemplate that? The people of taqwa, they become beloved servants of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they are of a greater esteem in His sight. Allahu Akbar. Fortunate are those people that can raise their ranks in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla. At the time of death, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. At the time of those people that are blessed with taqwa, they will be blessed with the honor of being able to see Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they are given the good news of safety from the punishment after dying. Allahu Akbar. And Imam Ghazali Ramatullah also says that they are protected from the hellfire and they will remain in Jannah forever. Taqwa. Small word. We hear it. But do we fully understand it? Do we try and develop that inside ourselves? It's not easy. I'm not saying it's an easy task. But we have the pious people around us that we can try and look up to. We have the pious people of this time and day, like Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami. If we were to try and follow in his footsteps and follow his teachings, listen to his guidance that he gives to us, then inshallah we can develop that taqwa inside us. In every aspect of his life, in every department that he has created within Dawat Islami, he's created it there to increase the taqwa inside us, to protect our iman, to improve the taqwa inside our hearts, so that we can live our life in such a way to please our Rabb. So I encourage all of our viewers to join, not only join, but get involved in the activities of Dawat Islami, to protect your iman, to develop that love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your heart, to develop that taqwa that we all need, is what we definitely need to become successful in this dunya. One day the second Khalifa of the Muslims, Sayyidina Umar Farooq, asked Sayyidina Khab bin Abar radiallahu ta'ala, and he said to him, "Oh Khab, tell me what is taqwa. Tell me what is taqwa." Sayyidina Khab bin Abar radiallahu ta'ala responded by saying, "Oh Amilul Mu'mineen, Allahu Akbar, have you passed by a path upon which there are many thorny bushes?" Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala replied, "Indeed, I have crossed such a path." Hearing this, Sayyidina Khab radiallahu ta'ala went on to ask, "How did you go about traveling upon it?" In response, he said, I avoided the thorns and I folded up my clothes to avoid them being caught amongst the thorns. Sayyidina Ka'b radiallahu anhu replied, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is taqwa. This is taqwa. Avoiding the thorns. Making sure that these things don't affect you. You know, we are on a thorny path. Our life is a thorny path. And on this thorny path, we've got all shaitanic whispers coming to us. All of these problems come to us. But we need to try and avoid them. And these, avoiding those things, are what will enable us to have that taqwa inside our hearts. Sayyidina Bazid Bistami, Ramatullah Ta'ala, once he was traveling, and he stepped at a place with his murids. He washed his blessed kameez, and his murids requested, please place your kameez over this wall in front so it can dry. And he said that, I do not have the permission of the owner of this wall. I cannot do it. So they said, what about hanging it from the branch of the nearby tree? Sayyidina Bayazid Bistami, Ramatullah Ta'ala, he replied, that birds sit on that tree. I will not take the right away from them. Allahu Akbar. The murids then asked, what if we were to take your blessed kameez and place it on the pasture to dry? Once again, the great Sayyid said, no, the pasture is where animals eat from. I will not hide the food from them. In the end, Sayyidina Bayazid Bistami Ramatullah put his blessed kameez over his back and faced the sun, causing it to dry. This is taqwa. That, you know, I put something on someone's wall. No, it's someone's wall. I've not had the permission. I put it on a tree. No, because the birds sit there. No, I won't put it on the grass because the animals eat here. So he put it on himself and faced the sun and let it dry. How many of us have this? You know, we'll go into someone's garden and we'll take an apple and we'll eat it. We don't even think twice. You know, this sort of level of taqwa, Yuzum and Channel, again, is something that we need to develop. Yuzum and Channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the hadith of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Rizq, which is known as sustenance, is something that we all need to fulfill our basic necessities. So let us listen to two lightnings for increasing rizq. The Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by one of his companions who said, O Messenger of Allah, the world has turned its back upon me. He replied, do you not remember what the angels glorify Allah Azza wa Jalla with, by blessings of which rizq is given? When Fajr begins, recite Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim, Astaghfirullah. The companion radiallahu ta'ala an committed this to his memory and laughed. He returned after a few days and exclaimed, O Messenger of Allah, Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wealth of the world came rushing to me, such that I did not know what to take it and where to put it. Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala an explains how a man complained of his poverty to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reply, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give salam to your family. And when you enter your home, if nobody is inside, present salam to me and recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad, meaning all of Surah Ikhlas once. The companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu acted upon this and became so wealthy that he began distributing his wealth amongst his neighbors and his relatives. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yuzum al-Chan, you're watching Arise and Shine, and early on we quoted a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, in which the companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, he said that Allah indeed loves a person who is righteous, independent, and hidden. If these, and from this hadith we find out this righteousness, what is righteousness? Righteousness is having this taqwa inside you, this piety inside you. And this teaches us that if we have these three qualities inside us, then inshaAllah azawajal, Allah will love us. We need to have this taqwa inside us, that whatever a deed we perform, whatever good deed we perform, we do it only and purely for our Creator, for the Rabb. And inshaAllah, if we do that, then inshaAllah, our deeds, inshallah, will be accepted. Inshallah, will be rewarded accordingly. And inshallah, on the day of judgment, you know, we'll be able to, inshallah, please our Rabb and our book of deeds will benefit us on that day, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.